Father, we thank you again for your precious word that has so much to tell us. And sometimes we don't like what it has to tell us, but thank you, Lord, that you didn't leave us helpless and hopeless, but you left us your word and you left us your Holy Spirit to teach us. And so right now, Lord, we look to your Holy Spirit to enlighten us, to speak to our hearts. I pray that every single woman here might go home with something very special right from your heart, Lord, to chew on during the week, to be encouraged, to maybe take another step because life's been kind of tough this week. So help us, Lord. We're a needy bunch, and as always, Lord, begin with me, for I'm most needy. And we'll simply give you all the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if you'd like to follow along, can you believe we're up to chapter 19? How'd that happen? It sure happened fast. Remember at the time of this incident that we've been studying this week, the Lord Jesus Christ is on the way to Jerusalem to die on the cross. And I was thinking about that last night. I thought, you know, if I knew I were going to die in a week, would I be as interested in reaching out and healing and touching people and giving them more parables and so on? I really would doubt it. But that's the kind of Savior we have. He loves us. He wants to teach us. Amazingly, he died for us. Well, here Jesus is making his way through Jericho, and he's followed by a crowd. And there was this man who really wanted to see Jesus, and his name was Zacchaeus. He happened to be a tax collector. He was very rich because he overcharged the Jews, rich and poor alike, and they hated him. And they feared, because there was a whole fraternity of tax collectors. Doesn't sound like anything's changed, does it? But especially Zacchaeus, because he was the chief tax collector. But he was a small man, and he kept trying to see Jesus, and he could not. And I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, I got dragged to a lot of parades, and I was always too short to see anything. So I can just see Zacchaeus jumping up and down trying to see. And he couldn't. And of course, because he was a tax collector, nobody was going to part the ways and let him go to the forward. They really didn't care much about him. But he saw a tree down the road. And I don't know about you, but I grew up with boys. And I wore jeans all the time. And I hated to wear a dress. And of course, in those days, back in the dark ages, we had to wear dresses and skirts to school. You know, there was a dress code. But boy, as soon as I got home, I got my jeans on. Because you couldn't climb a tree, or you couldn't climb anything, or you couldn't play army, or you couldn't do any of this other stuff that we all like to do. Here is this tax collector in his rich outfit, trying to get up this tree to see Jesus. And you can just imagine, with all those robes and everything, he's tearing his clothes and they're snagging, and not only that, but you could look right up the bottom part. He was having a tough time. But he finally got up to the tree, and here comes Jesus with this whole crowd of people, and he suddenly stops. And then to everyone's astonishment, Jesus calls the man's name out, Zacchaeus. I must come to your house today. I must stay at your house. And it just surprised all of them. And I love this because Jesus is looking for Zacchaeus, and Zacchaeus thinks he's looking for Jesus. And isn't that the way the Lord saves us? You know, he comes and looks for us. And here's this guy up a tree. So make haste, come down. Well, you can imagine he came down that tree really fast. He probably left half his clothes in the tree. So this is before jeans. And he wasted no time. And even if he might have lost everything, he came down full of joy. But the crowd all began to murmur. You ever hear what it sounds like to murmur? Okay, I'm going to count to three, and then I'll have you say murmur, murmur, murmur three times, and listen while we're saying it. Okay, one, two, three. Murmur, 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 murmur. Doesn't that sound wicked? I guess that's why God doesn't like us to murmur, murmur, murmur. So, but here is Jesus going to be a guest with a man who was a sinner. Well, I would have led the way. I would have said, probably most of us in this room would have said, well, he could come to my house. My house, we're not sinners at my house. That's what I would have said, but they became angry. What kind of a Messiah could this be who actually invited himself into the home of a tax collector? He's gone to be a guest with a man that was a sinner, and they were outraged. Oh, the fickle crowd, because moments earlier they were pressing to see what Jesus was healing or who he was, what he was doing, and they were praising him, and now they're angry with him. And I love it. It says, Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from anyone by false accusation, I restore fourfold. Now, I had lunch with a friend yesterday who was instrumental in getting me to teach 25 years ago or more. And she made the statement, oh, I can judge something from 25 feet. And I thought, isn't that true of us? We're just so quick to judge. But here's Zacchaeus up at this tree, and he has looked at his life. He doesn't like what he sees, and he's willing to get things right. And that's really repentance, isn't it? And it's... But as a judgmental individual, as a judgmental Christian, which I should not be, I would have said, I wouldn't have given him any room for change. You know, I would have said, he's a tax collector, he's a sinner, he's a tax collector, and that would be it. I would draw the line. But why... did the Lord want to be there to be his guest? And it was a trick question in your lesson, and none of my leaders got it. I didn't tell them it was a trick either. I don't like to get stoned at leaders' meeting. Anyway, it's our memory verse today. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That's why he wanted to have a meal with Zacchaeus, because he knew that he'd been tenderized, that he had repented. He was upset about his lifestyle, and he really wanted to change. And I love that verse. Had you noticed, it is not a single two-syllable word is in that sentence of our memory work today. It's like the Lord gave it to us as easy so that we could always remember it. But that's the reason that Jesus wanted to have a meal with him. But I I'm going to stretch this a little bit, and you may not like it, but I want to go back to last week's lesson when the two fellows are in the temple. One is a Pharisee, and we tore him apart pretty good last week. And then the other one is a tax collector, and he's beating his breast, and he's got his eyes towards heaven, and he's asking God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And Jesus says, I tell you, this man went down to his house justified. And I just have a hunch that maybe that is the same man in our story, Zacchaeus. That he had been in the temple so distraught over his lifestyle that he was so anxious to see Jesus. Now, why would he be so anxious to see Jesus, other than all of us would like to do that? But you have to remember that one of the disciples was Matthew, the tax collector. And Matthew had dropped this lucrative job to follow Jesus. And that just spread like wildfire, especially through all the tax collectors. Who is this Jesus that Matthew's following, that he gave up his job? He wanted to really meet him. And I don't know, maybe that adds a little bit of color to the story. But it just so ties together with last week's lesson. Well, please note, too, that Jesus didn't stop at the mayor's house or the house of the Pharisees or at the house of any prominent person. And the crowd complained. How easy it is to judge from the outside. We have no clue. So what did Jesus tell us about judging? Don't. We just don't know what's going on in a heart, and we can pour cold water all over something that maybe God has been working on and working on. We don't know what's happening in the heart. It's so important to realize that Zacchaeus was a changed man. How about your life? Let me give you some evidences of salvation. There are no handouts on this, but it's so good. When you come to Christ and he's center in your life, there's a new awareness of right and wrong. I remember this very distinctly in my life. Man, I didn't think I could do anything right. But I had a lot to change. And then I had a hunger for God's word. I could not get enough of it. I had never opened a Bible before I was 31, and I was dragged to this Bible study, and here was what I was looking for. I was so hungry for it, I couldn't get enough. And then you begin to have a desire for a changed life. And if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And of course, when you take a few steps forward with the Lord, you're going to have increased testing. It's like, are you genuine? Do you really mean what you're doing? And it's like the enemy gets a chance to chew us up a little bit. And then there's a tremendous love for other Christians. You want to be with other people. I think that's one of the neat things about this class, is that most of us don't hang together. But when we come together, we have kind of a unique oneness, kind of a sisterhood of loving the Lord and wanting to be together. And it's great because you pick up so many new thoughts and you think, wow, they got that and I didn't see that. It's just like Zacchaeus. When the Lord called to Zacchaeus, you could read right over that and miss that altogether. And of course, then it's the desire to tell others about Christ, the last one. It really shows that you're born again. Of course, most of us bungle it pretty good. You know, I lost my best friend after I came to Christ. She didn't think, she didn't want to hear anything about him. So he's kind of a miserable person today. Well, how about your faith? Jesus is passing through your town and he wants to have supper with you. It's a wonderful thought, isn't it? He wants to talk to you about your soul and your salvation. And as he knocked on your door, I love that picture in the book of Revelation in chapter 3 where Jesus is on the outside of the church and he's knocking on the door wanting to come in. And I think, how many churches today leave Jesus out? They have a form of religion, but they deny the power they're in. But I have to ask you, have you let him in? Well, now Jesus is approaching Jerusalem. And many of his followers, including the disciples, think he's going to set up his kingdom now. Wouldn't that be nice? But not so. He's coming to Jerusalem to die. When we get into the last part of Luke, I will put all four Gospels together so that you have a good, complete picture of what the Lord went through for us. I don't think it's right just to do Luke because it doesn't give us enough information. Anyway, the Lord begins this parable on the minas. And it's kind of a problem because, anyway, the certain nobleman is the Lord Jesus Christ, and he will receive his kingdom from his Father the next time he'll come as king. Meanwhile, he's given out 10 minas to 10 fellas, and verse 13 and 14 here it says, so he called 10 of his servants and delivered to them 10 minas and said to them, do business till I come. But his citizens hated him and sent a delegation after him saying, we will not have this man rule over us. So anyway, the servants, though, each received a mina. Now, I searched high and low for what is a mina. And it seems, my Bible here, it says it's amount of money. And maybe that's it. I don't know. A couple of commentaries I looked up said it was the gospel. That's reasonable. Then, just my own thinking, when we are saved, God gives us each a gift. And I think it falls into that category. The gift that he has given you is to be used. I don't know what that is. There's gift tests and all kinds of things where you can find out what your gift is. I think it changes too as time goes along, but and it, more is added to it. Yeah, so these citizens didn't want him to rule over them, so they nailed him to a cross. But while he was away, he was given each person had this opportunity to invest in their mina. And the main emphasis of this whole story is faithfulness. You know, I'll let you decide what the mina is, but simply you're to be faithful with it. And he will help you to be a good steward. And your mina might be an entire city. It might be a handful of people. It might be a home. It might be just your child. I don't know what your mind is going to be. It may be tremendously significant. Can you imagine the person that witnessed to Billy Graham? You know, we don't know who that was, but how wonderful to have been that person. Well, the main thing is just remember to be faithful. The important thing is faithfulness. Well, then we look at the triumphal entry into Jerusalem. And by piecing the Gospels together, we can find that he entered three times, which I didn't know. So I'll give you that at no extra charge. I kind of thought it was all the same. But isn't it interesting that he would send his couple of his disciples in to find this colt of this donkey that he would, it's never been ridden. And I was looking for that verse. Yes, on which no one has ever sat. Now, I don't know what it is to deal with donkeys, but I know horses are difficult if they've never been ridden, usually. And yet, can you imagine the Lord of creation sitting on this colt of a donkey? Now, it had to have been big enough to take adults' weight, so don't feel this is animal abuse here. It isn't. But, of course, the owner comes out and said, why are you loosing it? Because the Lord has need of it. That's all. And then I wondered, oh, I wonder who owned this donkey. I wonder if maybe the Lord had healed his child, or maybe the Lord had stayed there. I don't know. So they went their way, and they brought the colt to Jesus. And many spread their clothes on the road, and you had that in your lesson on the red carpet treatment here. But he was drawing near to the ascent of the Mount of Olives, and the whole multitude of the disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice. And you'll be celebrating this soon. Tomorrow is Ash Wednesday, but soon it'll be Palm Sunday. And that is what this is about. Other Gospels say Hosanna in the highest. This says blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory to God in the highest. It's really a beautiful entry, and but it is not the official one. Let me give you the three that I could find, and let's see. Okay, the first time he enters in, it's on Saturday, and there's no money changers in the temple. He looks around and he leaves. Then that's considered he was entering as a priest. The second time is on Sunday, and the money changers were there in the temple, and he moves in to clean them out. And that is, he had entered as a king. And the third time is on Monday, and he came in, and the sorriest verses there in verse 41 and on, where Jesus weeps over Jerusalem. It was so heartfelt. It's hard for me to even read that. The crowd did not know the full significance of even of Jesus getting this small donkey to come into Jerusalem, but he was coming as a humble king to present himself. Now, where were all the religious rulers? Where were the people in charge? They should have been ready to receive their king. They should have been ready to receive Jesus, but they weren't. They had discarded him. And the last time he enters as a prophet. And the same crowd, Jesus didn't give himself over to crowds, because the same crowd just a few days later would be saying, crucify him, crucify him. But what did the Pharisees say? Well, the Pharisees said, teacher, rebuke your disciples. It sounds like him, doesn't it? But he answered and said to them, I tell you that if these should keep silent, the stones would immediately cry out. And as Jesus drew near, he saw the city and wept over it, saying, if you had known, even you especially in this your day, the things that make for your peace, but now they are hidden from your eyes. For the day will come upon you when the enemies will build an embankment around you, surround you and close you in on every side, and level you and your children within you to the ground. And they will not leave in you one stone upon another, because you did not know the time of your visitation. That is a really sad situation, and I wanted to give you when that time would be. That is fulfillment of prophecy. Jesus waited until AD 70, and then General Titus, a Roman general, marched into Jerusalem, and they lay siege to Jerusalem for 143 days. Now, can you imagine that? They have all this military around you, surrounding you, and then they broke through. They slaughtered the inhabitants without mercy, and 600,000 Jews were killed. The temple and the city were leveled. Why did this happen? Because the people did not know that God had visited them. He came unto his own received him not. We will not have this man rule over us. May his blood be upon us and our children. And it certainly has been true to this day. So the question might come up, when will Jesus' true triumphant entry happen in Jerusalem, when he returns to earth and he touches down on the Mount of Olives, and the Mount of Olives will split in two. He will come riding on a white horse, and he will step down on the Mount of Olives, and he will set up his kingdom. Long for that day. That would be so special. Well, let's finish this up. Jesus needed really strong language when he cleansed out the temple. My house is to be a house of prayer. You have made it a den of thieves. And that's because if you brought your lamb down, they'd say it wasn't good enough, so they'd sell you another lamb. And pretty soon it was a big money-making outfit. But he cleanses out the temple for the second time. He began in John. He cleansed it when they started his ministry, and now he's doing it again when he finishes his ministry. But the significance of this spot right here is now Jesus officially closes his ministry to the nation. No more light to the nation. And we'll be picking that up as we go along. Father, thank you again for your precious word. Thank you that you went through so much for each of us. Lord, thank you that you came to seek and save that which was lost. Thank you for saving Zacchaeus. One day we'll be able to talk to him. Thank you for saving my soul, Lord. Thank you for each lady here that knows you personally. And as anyone that does not know you, may this be the day where they say, Lord Jesus, I want to be your child. I want you to forgive me of my sins. I want to walk with you the rest of my life. Take me, Lord, I'm here. And for the rest of us, Lord, that are struggling in areas, help us to have that faithful trust. Help us to be faithful with what you've put into our hands. Oh God, we just so need to hear from you. But we ask this in Jesus' name.